I was going to say that I think for younger children, when I tell them, okay, this item costs $10, they don't understand what $10 means. So I say, okay, if you buy this item, if or rather, if you don't buy this item, you could actually buy 3 packets of chicken rice. You know, so creating that kind of comparison, because they know that, oh, you know, chicken rice is a meal for them. And so rather than tell them that, oh, this item is going to, I could actually feed myself 3 meals at the same amount of money. So I think for what I've tried to do with younger children is to put it in terms that they kind of understand, or to equate it with a certain good that they're familiar with.
We work hard for it. It affects nearly every aspect of our lives. We use it every day and think little of it until it runs low. Then we worry. I'm talking about money. You're listening to the WADT podcast, and this week we are starting a new series called Hot Potatoes, where we discuss difficult situations parents face with their children and provide some practical tips on how to handle them. If there is a hot potato that you would like us to touch on, do let us know through our social media platforms and email. My co-hosts today are Hafiz, Kevin, and introducing Shufen. Shufen is a stay-home mom with 5 children who are between the ages of 5 and 10. And we will be talking about how parents can educate their children about money, its values, its purpose, how to spend, how to save, and how to share. Good morning to all of you, and most of all, welcome to you, Shufen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi, everyone.
It's good to have you, Shufen, because you are a young mom with young children. So I think that's exactly what we want, a different perspective from a younger parent who is trying to raise children in this present modern day, or some say postmodern society. So I'm sure you have lots of input to share with us, your experience and maybe some of the lessons you have learned from, you know, raising 5 kids, young kids in this environment. So we are looking for it, forward to that.
Yeah.
So today we are talking about money, and let's kick off with this question. What is the right age to start teaching children about money? What do you think? Kevin, let's start with you.
Well, I think money is a math kind of thing, right? It's counting. So I think as early as when the kids can count, we can introduce the concept of money. For example, if you're going to buy something off the shelf or off the counter, when the kids are watching us pay, yeah, we can have conversations about that as well. In fact, we can even ask. I mean, I remember when my kids were maybe a bit too young, but I would pass them the money and ask them to pay to the auntie. You know, then they'll do one kind of thing. Yeah, but it's just getting them get used to this whole concept of money and then how money can be exchanged for items. But that's how I think. How early is when they can start counting.
So that is like what?
Maybe three, four.
Three, four. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. How about you, Shufen? When do you start teaching your kids about money?
Yeah, I think similarly to Kevin, like when the children were 3 or 4, because I bring them out with me to the markets often, or to like NTUC. So they do see me, you know, handing over their uncle or auntie something, and they ask me like, oh, what's that? And I say, oh, that's money you have to pay for what you're going to take. And so that's when they see, oh, okay, I'll give them some coins or give them a dollar note. So I think that's when the whole concept of paying for something came in, and then the use of money. So yeah, about 3 or 4. Sometimes if they're a bit older, maybe like 4.5. Yeah.
Hafiz, I don't know if you still remember the days where, you know, we were introduced about, you know, in school where we have the POSB, you know, savings account, and we learn to save money. That was a time that I clearly remember really learning about money. I don't know about you. When did you start learning about money?
I can't remember. It was a long time ago. But I remember we used to have this, you know, discipline of having like a piggy bank, you know, putting coins inside boxes. And, you know, it's like an in thing for everyone. you know, in the family or friends. Yeah. So I can't remember how young was I, but really I agree that it's never too young to teach our kids about money, 2-3 years old. I mean, when they understand, you know, the relationship between things, yeah, all right, and also people. So I think it's not just the teaching about there's value in money, but about social relationship, you know, when the exchanges that happen, you know, and so on, yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say that, Hafiz, that I remember learning about money when I was young. Well, the first concept of money when I was learning when I was young was about saving. So my parents would give me pocket money, but they always say when you have extra, just put it in your piggy bank or your savings bank. Yeah. So that's where I started. I may not learn the value of money yet, but I learned the first concept of money is saving, to save it.
Yeah, I think saving is an important thing, right? Because Singaporeans are known to be asset rich but cash poor. So I think saving money, I mean, you know, like they say, cash is king, right? So what if you have a condo, right? But the 2018 recession, for example, taught us a lesson that I know many people who live in condo, but when that recession hit, you know, they were in deep trouble, all right? They couldn't last 2 months. And they couldn't sell the condo in time to kind of liquidate it and get cash. So cash is still king. So how do we teach kids to save? What do you think are some ideas and some methods that has worked for you?
I think when it comes to savings, I mean, my children are still young. The eldest is only 10. And so I have 3 primary school going children, which means the 3 of them get like an allowance every week when they go to school. And so we'll tell them, okay, you know, you have $10 a week, and so we want to encourage you to save at least 1/10 of it, so it should be $1. So you do ask them to put aside the dollar at the start of the week so that they know, okay, I have $9 left to play for the week, and not to, you know, spend the whole week and then see what else I have left and then I save it. But I think we tell them, okay, you know, from the very beginning, save it first so that you know you have already put that aside. And then at the end of the week, if you have even more to save, great. But if you have not, at least you know you have something that you've set aside already. And I think that's something that is a good start for them, just to put aside money first when it first comes in, rather than wait until the very end to work with the very little or none that they may have, or even like be in debt. Because sometimes they just go to the canteen and they just buy and buy and buy because, you know, oh, I just pay the uncle, auntie something, I get my drink, I get my chicken rice, and then at the end of the day, oh, mommy, I don't want money. I'm like, where do you go to? You know, it's just spend and spend, especially my primary one. He's very new to school, so he's only been in school for like 3 months. There's one day he told me, oh, I spent $2.50. I said, but I only give you $2 a day. Like, where did the extra 50 cents come from? So somehow
it from the day before, the day after.
Yeah, correct. So I think he just kept it like from the, I don't know, the previous week or the day before, and he didn't take it out of his wallet, so it was still there. But I said, okay, you know, but you have to learn that you can't be overspending and spending what you technically would not have on a regular day. So I think it's been an interesting journey with that one.
So you're drawing on either drawing on his savings or living on credit.
Yeah.
P1.
Yeah.
But that's a good concept to teach. And only recently now, right, in my 40s, I listened to podcasts. I learned of this whole budgeting of our finances and money. Mm. And the concept that Rachel Cruz was teaching was that whatever money you have, your income, right, the first thing you do to budget, right, is to budget your savings, like what Shubha is saying. But she said the second item on your budget list is how much you're giving away. Then the rest of it, you budget for food, for blah, blah, blah. So that, wow, the second item after savings is how much you're giving away. Because she believes in the principle that your money is also can use to bless others as well. So yeah, so that's a second item on the list, you know, how much you're giving away. I was like, wow, that's a good principle to have, which I'd like to teach to my kids.
It reminds me of the term delayed gratification, right? And there's a way to teach children, I mean, about delayed gratification, that you can get rewarded for delaying, enjoyment, short-term enjoyment, and you get a long-term enjoyment and reward. So I think, how do we teach that? you know, to our children.
I think what's I was going to say about something new that's happening in schools is that now they are introducing like a POSB smartwatch where you can actually pay with your watch and you just tap it at like
the stall.
And so because we got a notification to sign up for them, so basically you link this watch to your bank account and then you just pay like with your watch. And I didn't get it for the children, definitely not. And I think when my children asked me for it, I said the whole reason was because that is going to be the biggest pitfall and trap of you just spending money without you even knowing it, because you know it is cashless, which the whole nation is going towards now, right? You can just tap and pay. But if the children don't actually handle money, they don't physically touch it, they don't realize that there is something that you have to give in order to receive something. And so just tapping things, you know, I was like, wow, I think the children are a bit too young to deal with that. And so when they started primary school, I mean, there was a new initiative and there was something that I was okay, I think I'm going to hold off that for a bit, get them to really understand what money is, you know, and the whole allowance and saving. So yeah, that was something new for me as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because when the kids don't see the money, they don't really count. Yeah. So when we go for supermarketing, I mean, I want the points, right? So I will use credit card. So they just take my card and just teet, you know, like it's money, you know. Yeah. But there's one day I was very surprised when I went to pump petrol, and you know, now petrol prices have gone skyrocketed, right? Yeah. So my kids, when they saw the meter, then when the final amount was like, wow, Papa, $102 for petrol. You pay so much for petrol. Yeah. So I had a conversation with my girl. She said, yeah, you see, that's why I'm asking you to take MRT and bus. Then she, it's like a light bulb, they go on. Enlightenment.
That is about teaching kids, our kids, that money doesn't come easily, right? I mean, that's one. Second is, I think I remember Shufen mentioning about debt. You know, so I have this experience with my children, all of them, all right? So I do the same thing. I give them a weekly allowance when they are of a certain age. And then if they do not keep to that discipline, they don't have money. And a few of them did this. They borrow money from their friend. And when they tell me, I tell them, what do you do that? You know, because I don't have any more money. What do you ask from me? You know, then they thought that I'll punish them or anything. So, but when they take debt, right? I mean, first I will tell them there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, but I mean, you have to pay back, right, to them. But don't make it a habit, because once that's happened, you think the money comes easily, right? And the fact they have to pay it, and today, when you're an adult, especially, when you pay back money, there's interest, compounded interest, and it worsens your situation into helping you. So for that little enjoyment that you want, you will suffer a long time. It's something that I would tell my kids from young, that don't do that. Don't fall into that trap.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. Yes, you know, about money coming easily. Oh, you know, I remember a joke. Well, it was a real story, but you know, it was funny. People share it as a joke that, you know, children think that money comes out of the wall. You know why? Because of ATM. Parents going to a wall and, you know, just knocking it somehow, doing something, and then money comes out. Wow, money comes out from the wall. So these kind of things, so I mean, we want to be thankful for modern technology, but on the flip side of it is that, you know, we do not know what it puts into the minds of children and how they begin to perceive money. Yeah. So I think going back to your smartwatch thing, I think that's a very slippery slope, you know. Yes, you know, because there's no, very difficult for young children to monitor and, you know, track their spending, right? And becomes so easy, right? Even for adults, you know, many adults have difficulty monitoring and keeping track of their spending, and as a result they just overspend because of credit cards. And today with PayWave it's even easier, right? And you just tap and go. So I think that then giving them cash is still the best, so that they can actually see it, and every time they want to pay for something they will actually be able to look at how much they have, whether in their purse, their wallet, their pouch or whatever it is, you know, and be more mindful and aware and maybe conscious of it, that oh, it's getting lesser and lesser, and hopefully that bites them. The furthest I would go is a cash card with a limited amount of money for a week, for example. Okay, so let's say if the schools all go cashless, right? You know, no, the tuck shop stallholders no longer accepts cash. Okay, we go cashless. So I'll give my child a cash card, or the school needs to, you know, it's like some hawker centers here in near my place. They're all using cash card, and you get 10% discount for every purchase. So I think that's still, you know, there's a limit. So when your child goes and taps on, you know, and wants to buy something, and oh, no more money, that's it. You have overspent. You know, I think that still helps the child to, you know, learn some restraint, you know, and set some boundaries, you know, and boundaries are not just words, you know. Don't spend more than $10. Well, if it's just words, what do you think the chances of him spending more than $10? Right.
I think
go ahead, Fern.
Sorry, I was going to say that I think for younger children, when I tell them, okay, this item costs $10, they don't understand what $10 means. So I say, okay, if you buy this item, if you don't buy this item, you could actually buy 3 packets of chicken rice. You know, so creating that kind of comparison, because they know that, oh, you know, chicken rice is a meal for them. And so rather than tell them that, oh, this item is going to, I could actually feed myself 3 meals with the same amount of money. So I think for what I've tried to do with younger children is to put it in terms that they kind of understand, or to equate it with a certain good that they're familiar with, like McDonald's meals or something. You know, that's something that they would know. Okay, I can buy 1 McDonald's meal with like $5, right, compared to just spend it all on one single item or something like that. Yeah. Sorry, Kevin, back to you.
No, I was going to respond a little bit to what Hafiz, his question. I think still left hanging. How do you actually teach the children delayed gratification? I think one of the things that I taught my kids when I can remember is about this whole concept of needs and wants. Do you need it now or do you want it? Yeah, because if you need it, then I'll get it for you, right? But if you want it, can live without it, then maybe you don't get it, right? But then that concept of delayed gratification, right? I learned this somewhere that if you want this item, we wait for it. Don't buy it first, wait 3 months or 6 months later. And after that period, do you still want it? You want it, then we buy it. Okay, so there's a
wow.
Wait
3 to 6 months.
Yeah, because if you really wanted it after 6 months, you still desire it, then buy it. Because you still want it 6 months later, you see. That's the idea, right?
But
after
it will 6 months, you'll be then.
Sorry?
Or new model will have come up and replaced it.
Yeah, then you didn't really need it in the first place, right? But if, let's say, limited stock only, if you don't buy it now, then no more already, for example, right? Then fine, I'll buy it for you first. Then later, if you want, because maybe I can't afford it, for example, right? Like the child can't afford this item. And it's a limited stock, or the promotion is going to end soon, for example, right? Then as a parent, I can buy it first, but I don't give it to you. You save up for it first, or you earn enough for it first, then you pay it off for yourself, so to speak. So they don't actually just get what they want, but I'm teaching them the delayed gratification, or you buy something that you can afford, things like that.
Yeah, related to that, I think another way is forced saving. You know, I do this. I mean, it teaches me to be more disciplined forcibly. So it's like I put my money somewhere that I cannot touch it. If I touch it earlier, I get the fine for it. You know, there's a penalty for it. So that's one way. Second, one way is to have some distractions. I think children, like us also, we get attracted to things quickly, even bad things. All right. So in that particular experiment, I mean, this is called a marshmallow experiment, right? So they put this marshmallow, you know, in front of the kids, you know, and then they're supposed to have one each or what, you know, and then you know, the adult went out, you know, see, they were told not to touch it, you know, but if you don't touch it, I'll reward you more later. Okay, so what the kids did was to find distracting thing, you know, so looking around and doing things, you know. So distraction is one way, you know, of teaching kids, although it works, I think, in the short term, but teach them, for example, to even, you know, exercise, I mean, move about, you know, get your body moving and get this, don't be so influenced by what you think you want immediately, you know, then set the thinking brain moving, all right? So, you know, so distract children, I think, is one way. I think for me, it works always. know, children but who are crying, children who want something, just distract them.
If you are in a toy shop, how do you do that? You bring the child to another part of the toy shop and look at a different toy, and then he says, I want that. We're back to square one.
No, like the toy shop is the best. Toy shop say you can play anything you want here, but us cannot buy.
Okay, all right, that's an idea. Why didn't I think of that?
The whole variety is there for you, man. You might, I can bring you back here again, no problem. But don't need to buy. I mean, that's the thing about the kids, right? Like all the Christmas presents are, I'm notorious for that. Penny and I are notorious for that, okay? They get so many Christmas presents, right? But we don't show hand, you know? My kids actually complain to their relatives or their friends, like, you know, mommy, let me open my Christmas present in April or in June.
Wow.
Yeah, because if you open everything, then they play, then they lose the novelty thing, you know? But then when they open something, when they unbox it, For first time, very new, right? Or they play really for a lot, right? So we space out the gifts. Sometimes we space out so much until the gift like too young for them, really. Like that. We end up giving the other people also. Yeah. You know? But anyway, one thing that Paksa, I don't know where you got time to talk about this, but it's about how to teach our kids to give. Because a lot of our conversation so far is about how to spend or how to save or how to be a good steward of money. But how would you guys actually teach our kids to be the generous part, to actually be giving? Any ideas? I would like to learn from you guys.
Usually we give second hands, not new things. So, you know, whenever we do, hand me downs, you know, we do spring cleaning, you know. Now we have Carousel and everything. So, in fact, I stopped throwing things really. All right. And I tell my kids, okay, you have Carousel account, right? Just put everything on there. And if you want anything, just give them a very good price. You know, even the low ball also just. And rather than you clear it, you know, put it at the rubbish bin, you make someone happy because that person need it or want it, you know, why not?
Yeah. Any other suggestions about how to teach your children to share, right? So we have spending, we have saving, and then we have sharing. So how do you teach children to share?
I think that's where parents help to model it a lot. In our house, sometimes we have the rubbish collectors who come by and we give them drinks, you know, or if we have workers who come in to do house renovations, we get the children to, hey, give them some drinks or offer some bread or biscuits. And I remember there was once when we walked by a busker. And my daughter came up to me, oh, mommy, can we give the uncle some money? I said, sure, you know, and so I gave her some money and she went to put it in the box. And I asked her why. I said, why do you want to give the uncle money? She said, oh, I think just because he needs it. And I think it's simple things, acts of kindness that we can do, you know, as we model together as a family. Last time we would, I would like bake cookies or brownies, and we say, you know, just give it to our neighbors, you know, let's just bless them and share what we have with them. So it might not always necessarily be money. Sometimes the opportunities for money comes when, like Chinese New Year, the children in school, they have a little ang pao collection for, I think, some of the community hospitals, the elder care foundations, and they say, oh, you know, can you put aside some of your ang pao money to donate to the communities? And so and that's what we do, you know, and we explain to children, you know, oh, this is what we're doing. We are giving just a bit of money to support them in the work that they do, to support the elderly or the homes that this money would go to. And I think these are just small ways of getting them involved. And how they can give and how they can share, be it money or their toys, just various things that they have around the house. Yeah. Yeah,
speaking about giving, Fern, we have this friend, Baxter and Hafiz. We have this friend. They actually taught their daughter. She was like, how old was Maya? Maya, 5 or 6. Huh. They planted plants, and then she sold the plants. Yeah, and she raised $8,000. And the money was given to foreign workers. Yeah. So that was an amazing teaching moment for us as adults on what we can do to impress our kids.
So what you're talking about is like fundraising projects, right? Yeah. Like in America, we hear about this, right? A lot of children, young little children, you know, It's a common thing in America for them to set up a lemonade stall. And so children will set up their own lemonade stall. Of course, the mother prepares the lemonade and they sell, you know, each cup a certain amount of money. And, you know, kids would have raised $1,000 or so for whatever, you know, cause out there. So I think there are many, many creative ways to do that. I think I like what the Jewish people do. The Jewish people are one of the most charitable people. And when it comes to money, they are very, very calculative. I don't know if you've met any Jews. Okay, I've known a few Jews in my life and I can see that they are very calculative and that's how they become rich, right? But one of the things that about them is they're also very charitable. And because of this practice that they have in most Jewish families, because in Hebrew, okay, that's the Jewish language, the word for charity is actually also means righteousness. Okay, tzedekah. Tzedekah is the word for charity, which is also the word for righteousness. So to them, an act of charity is an act of righteousness. So you're, in that sense, scoring point with God. So that's why they think, you know, charity very important. And one of the practices, you know, I'm sure they still practice it today, and that is every family, they would have a glass bottle or maybe a metal tin in the family in somewhere very conspicuous, all right? And then every time, you know, let's say the father comes home, you know, he would put his hand into his pocket and pick up all the small change in his pocket and put it into that jar or that tin, okay? So every day, they would just be depositing coins into it until it's full. All right. So every member of the family would do that, right? Whatever coin they have, whatever loose change they have, once they step into the house, they will just drop it into that jar or that tin. And once it's full, so it doesn't mean it's just once a month. As long as it's full, all right, as a family, they'll decide, okay, who should we give this to? So it could be a charity, it could be a neighbor in need next door or something like that. All right. And so yeah, it goes on and on and on and on. So the whole concept of helping others, it's ingrained, it's kind of, taught to the child and also modeled to the child from day one.
Yeah, that's a great idea, man. I want to start that soon. In fact, I'm going to start that with my kids now. Fern's one will talk about very fast because she got so many kids.
Yeah. But not all of them have money. The twins don't have money.
Of course, the other way is when the child has a savings account, all right, and if the child agrees, I think you can even, set up a GIRO deduction, you know, that will deduct a certain amount to a certain charity or something like that. Okay, that's other ways. So that one is more of on an individual basis. That means, all right, if the child has some, you know, a savings account and he's learned how to budget. So like what Shufen says, and I like it, is that, was it Kevin, you know, the first thing you budget is your savings. And then the second thing you budget is your giving, you know. And so it's being deducted, right? Okay. And after that, whatever is left, you are free to spend it. So there are different ways you can begin to make giving or sharing a part of life.
Hafiz, you going to say something, Hafiz?
Yeah, interesting. Paksan, you mentioned the word, the word sadaqah. Actually, sadaqah also is Arabic, so it means the same, you know, to give, and because I think Semitic languages, right, similar. Mm. And I think in Islam, in the religion, there are many times to give sadaqah or to give. It's not just money, right? Even smile is a charity. You know, even if you teach people, it's a charity. So again, you know, it's about giving, right? If you don't have money, you can give other things. You can give service, you can give things that you have, your time. So, we broaden the concept of giving and sharing. But going back to the how to teach our children, for me, whenever I get my children to buy things, I always tell them, okay, you have a friend who you think you want to share something with, you know, then I will also get for her or him. And I thought it's very important because this is something that I learned. Nobody hates getting gifts. Everybody will love it to get free gifts. Who doesn't? So it's just to make someone happy, you know. So even if it seems that you lose something from there, but actually you will gain a lot from people's happiness. And I always tell the children that these things will come back to you somehow, and more will come back. And I think that's related to that, delayed gratification thing. You know, you can never know what good things will come to you when you give to others, even how small. Yeah,
it's called favor.
Sharing is a very intentional thing, like, I guess. So we try to teach our kids to share. So I tell them it's a privilege for us to be able to share with somebody what we have, right? So I remember one instance where we have volunteered with our with one of our kids' school to go and pick trash at MacRitchie. Okay, and they were handing out tongs, those tongs to pick, so you don't use our hands to pick, we use the tong to pick, right? They were handing out, but Fanny said, just take one tong can already. I said, why? For three of us, they learn to share. You know, so just by having one tong each, right, they have to learn. One tong each, then they need to share, they just keep taking. Production rate very high, more trash will be picked up. But we wanted, and this was a teaching opportunity for our kids, right? We purposely take one tong, and then say, hey, my turn. Then they have to give it to the other sibling to use the tong, right? So from there, right, we actually taught them how to ask for your turn also. You cannot say, hey, or snatch. So the person waiting for their turn have to be gracious to ask for, hey, is it my turn now? Can I have a try? Can I have a go? So they're learning that. But the person also holding it have to learn, okay, I hold quite long already. It's time to pass it on, that kind of thing. There's also a time where I build it up when they're a bit older. I intentionally, so let's say Baxter, Hafiz, and Sugar are my children, right? I purposely give Hafiz, right, 5 slices of apple, and then for Baxter, I give 2, Sugar give 2. Purposely give one kid, right, more. Then it's like, oh, how come you got more? I said, oh, up to you, you want to eat all yourself, you eat long. But if you want to, you can share. So then I teach them the concept that sometimes I can share with others. So then next time I give Baxter more, I give the rest less. Then the one with the more one, okay, what should I do? Now, should I eat everything for myself or should I share it? So it's your choice. I'm not forcing you to share, but I give you the opportunity. Why? Because I taught you it's a privilege to share. So when you have it, you can share. Yeah. And I'm very touched that sometimes my kid, the last one. They give their last one. So they actually don't have, but they gave it to somebody else. And that really touched my heart, that my kids are learning that concept of giving and blessing other people as well.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, I think it also teaches them that without saying it, the world is unfair. But you can make it fairer by sharing.
I say it all the time, life is not fair.
Okay, last question before we go. And I think this is a question that many, if not all parents are thinking about it and talking about it, is, do you pay your kids to do household chores? Hafiz, do you ever do that? And why?
No.
And why? Why not?
I mean, it works, but I don't do it. Because at the end of the day, I feel that it is a responsibility of everyone, because everyone needs the home, everyone uses things at the home. And more importantly, even if you didn't create that mess, right? You can help other people. I mean, there must be a reason that person didn't wash the plates or didn't clear the room, you know. For valid reason, yes. But if continuously like that, right? Cannot. Because for me, very simple, when it comes to your own things, you clear. But if other people need help, you just help. You know, no, I'd rather do it myself than paying them, because I think it teaches them the wrong value of responsibility. I don't know about the others, it may be different.
Good point. How about you, Shufen?
Yeah, in my house, I won't pay them either. I think it, similarly to Hafiz, you know, just teaching them about responsibility in the house, but I think also, I don't want the children growing up to think that they should expect something in return all the time for what they do. And I think that's something that they should learn younger than older. I always tell the children, you know, to do to others what you want others to do to you. And so if you want to have a nice clean house, a tidy house, for yourself, then you should also do it for other people so that they can model it for you. And so I don't want them to say, okay, you know, you make your bed and I'll give you like 10 cents. Or if you put your cup back into the sink, I'll give you 10 cents. Mentality that, oh, you know, if I do something good, I will definitely have something back in return. But that's not the way the world goes. You know, you don't always do something good and get something back in return. I think it's the whole concept of it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I think just that, to create that culture of giving. And while today we talk a lot about money, as the children grow up, it's not just about a money asset that they have to deal with. You know, everybody, all of us have resources. We have our time, we have energy, we have our money, and how we choose to save or spend or use all these things will be very important for them. And so, you know, I just wanted to grow up to know that, yeah, you shouldn't always be doing something expecting something else in return, because you just do it out of the goodness of your heart. Yeah.
Yeah, some parents would say, you know, that's a motivation, right? An incentive or a reward to get them to do it more consistently. But I think, yeah, the backside of it is that you're teaching them, you're helping them develop a habit of relying on extrinsic motivation than intrinsic motivation, and doing something, you know, because it's right, it's a good thing to do, and let that be your only motivation. How about you, Kevin? What's your opinion about it, paying kids to do household chores?
I do pay them. Okay, but wait, let me qualify first before we finish. Okay, don't get that wrong note. We differentiate. Okay, house chores is house chores. Errands are errands. It's different. Okay, house chores, you need to clear your, you need to bring your plate to the back of the sink after meals. That one is a given. I'm not going to pay you for that. Okay, make your bed when you wake up is a given. You have to do that. Okay, fold your clothes. I can wash them in the washing machine. Kind of them, but if I put it there, I'll ask you to go and fold. You don't go and make noise about it, and I'm not going to pay you for folding your clothes. Okay, so house chores is house chores. Those are disciplines and habits that we want them to inculcate. So I'm not going to pay you for that. But what I do pay them is, can you help me vacuum the car, please? Can you wash? Let's wash the car together. Those kids who want to wash the car with me, you get paid. If you don't wash, you don't wash out, it's okay. I'm not forcing you, but you don't get paid. So errands, yes, things that is out of the ordinary that they are not supposed to do one, but they can do if they want to. So they have a choice. So they don't want to wash car, they don't want to do that errand, then they don't get paid. So it's and they have a choice. Yeah. So and if they do, then they get rewarded. So that's how I differentiate. So interestingly, all my kids, not because they get paid, but they like to wash car. So then just all wash car together. So it's So
one very good at it.
One will wipe the rim, one will wipe the side window, one will things like so. Oh, they like to splash water and play something. Yeah, then all get paid. So yeah, that's how I differentiate chores and errands. Yeah.
And how much do you pay them?
Usually just $2 lah. Yeah, cheap labor lah. Yeah.
Oh, if very high, I would like to wash the car for you.
No lah, cannot
afford
you lah.
It's cheaper than the car wash, so yeah. It's not cheap labor.
Yeah, my rate is $2 per square inch.
It's more token lah, token. La. Yeah. Then Parkson, we'll leave it.
Yeah, I think that's all right.
Forever dirty lah. Yeah, yeah. Your car will be dirty lah. That's all. Just accept the fact.
That's why I don't have a car.
So that's why
it's not right around. So example, Charles and Aaron, Parkson talk about calculative, right? I mean, calculative and calculation. No one thing to teach children that whenever you do work, you know, then you get rewarded. You know, also, there's another way of looking at it. You know, with work, then you get rewarded. So I think there is always a situation and context for that. And we need to explain to them. I think that's more important. Yeah.
All right. Wow, this is a very interesting conversation. I think we have covered nearly all the bases. For you who are listening in, if you have any questions, please feel free to ask using our social media platforms or send us an email. We would be happy to talk to you and try to answer your questions. So until the next time, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the WADT podcast, and thank you for listening. If you have enjoyed today's episode, be sure to like, follow or subscribe so that you will not miss any episodes. Share the link to this episode with someone you think that will benefit from it. We want to know what you think of this episode too. Please feel free to share your comments on one of our social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Instagram and YouTube. You can also email wearedads2@gmail.com if you have a question or need help. Till next time, this is Hafiz and Parkson signing off.